God said this is a symbol of the covenant that I am drawing up between me and you and every living thing with you on behalf of every
future
generation. I have placed my bow in the clouds. It will be a symbol of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember the covenant between me and you and every living being among us, the creatures among all the creatures. Floodwaters will never again destroy all creatures. The bow will be in the clouds, and upon seeing it, I will remember the
enduring covenant
between God and every living being of all the earth's creatures. God said to Noah, "This is a symbol of the covenant that I have set up between me and all creatures on earth."
When we baptize children, I always invite the family to have age-appropriate Bibles throughout their child's lifetime. The Bibles we give our third graders have incredible resources and are filled with helpful life application insights. When our own children were little, we had baby Bible board books with collections of favorite stories. And before that, there were even these little cloth books that had like Bible animals in them. These age-appropriate versions keep the stories around for us to engage with. I'm a firm believer that in order to ask the big questions later, we need to know the stories first. One of the most common and popular Bible stories to include, especially in children's Bibles, is the story of Noah and the Ark. It shows up everywhere in churches, especially like on the walls of Sunday school rooms. It showed up in our own church nursery. And then thinking about our home nursery with our sheets and quilt when Joey was born, it was filled with a bunch of cute little animals on a boat. Gracie has a big puzzle with all these happy little animals walking down a ramp under a rainbow while Noah smiles in the background. And every so often, I pause and ask myself, how did this story of global genocide become such a favorite for children? Now let's unpack that a little bit. I didn't mean to take such a dark turn so quickly. The story of Noah is just that, a story. Almost every culture and religious tradition from the time and era of the Hebrew Bible has their own flood story. That tells us that floods were a common experience for people who lived near Middle Eastern rivers, and that they were trying to make sense of it. And without Weather Channel reporters standing under blowing umbrellas giving us a play-by-play, it would be easy to look out and see nothing but water and assume the whole world was covered. Because in a sense, their whole world was covered. The story also offered a sense of explanation for the refracted light that graces the sky with colors. It gave the rainbow a reason. It also offered a sense of control and a kind of hope. God may have gotten angry before, but if we live right, God won't get angry again. And even if God gets angry, it won't be global because the rainbow said so. Right? So let's all just live right and avoid any more problems. So often, the simple portrayals are all animals and rainbows, and they miss the deeper ethos and truth of the story. Before the boat opened its door and the rainbow filled the sky, we find a very relatable story of hope in uncertainty. Here's Noah, on a boat with his family and a menagerie, no real idea of what or when or how. In the earlier parts of the story, God says, "I will make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights." But the number 40 in the Bible isn't the kind of number you count on. It's a loose concept that is more metaphor than calendar. What 40 means is that after a while, things will change. Whenever you encounter the number 40 in the Bible, be it in days or in years, the person or people in the story will not be the same after. And then after those 40 days of rain, it says the earth stayed covered for 150 days, which wasn't a part of God's monologue, so I don't know if that was a surprise or not. I can just hear Noah recounting the story to his family. It's day 40. The rain should be stopping. Oh, great. So we can get off the boat now? Well, the water still has to go away. So you got a count of the rainy days, but no calendar for when we actually get off the boat? Yikes. So Noah gets a vague sense of timing. But even if he had an exact count, how do you track time before clocks existed when the sky is covered in clouds and storming constantly? I emphasize this because I want to honor the uncertainty that Noah was experiencing. Circumstances beyond his control forced him and his family into a tiny space with no real sense of when it would all end. And then, once they were in the boat, they just had to ride it out. Welcome to Noah's Animal Cruise 2020-2021. If biblical authors were to write about our pandemic experience, they would surely say we were quarantined for 40 months. Not because that is the exact count, and it better not be, but because it is a time of change and uncertainty. Now, the Bible tells us the waters receded until the ark settled. And the more time passed, everything began to dry out. Noah gets another 40-day waiting period, and then he starts sending out birds. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, and he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth and back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark, and he reached out his hand, and he took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. So he waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. And then they open the door and the story picks up where the delightful pictures love to, animal parades and rainbows. And as Dwayne the Donkey reminds us, we will have that moment. We will have that moment soon. In our own experience, I feel like we have reached the sending out the birds phase. We are so close, but just not completely there. We are living the awkward waiting game of the Noah story. Rain stops. Is it over? Soon. Okay, then the water starts to recede. Is it over? Soon. Then the ark lands on a mountain. Is it over? Soon. Well, the earth is beginning to appear. Is it over? Soon. The first bird, it's flying around and it came back. Is it over? Soon. Then the one of the birds, it found a leaf. Is it over? Soon. Well, the bird hasn't come back. Is it over? Is it over? Soon. When we look back at this time, we will surely remember whatever our animal parade and rainbow day or days will be. We will recount the journey and the waiting and that cooped up feeling of quarantine, and then talk about the joy of discovering the world once again. But I hope we will re-enter the days we spent floating in the unknown. I hope we will tell them when we tell this story, because those days are telling us something about ourselves. Now, you know, there were probably days, it's my guess, that Noah had days where he did not actually feel hope. For all of his biblical grandeur, there had to be days. The only reason he stayed on the boat was because there was nowhere else to go. I can only imagine there were days that he was a source of strength and courage for his family, as well as days he was hiding with a little fennec foxes, wiping his tears with their long ears. Look them up. They're cute. When he sent that first bird out, it may not have been an act of hope and faith. It may have been an act of desperation. Get out there, bird, find something. But he sent the bird, And he sent it again and again, and hope did arrive in the form of a tiny leaf. And that is the hope I invite us to. Our leaf is coming. The little piece of life that will tell us it's really happening and it's coming. Soon is now. And then our hope will be more directed and it will be more clear and it will have a sense of nearness. So if you are having a tough moment, if you're having a rough day or a bad week or whatever the length of your frustration, if hope doesn't feel real to you right now, I invite you to have hope that hope is coming. We can have hope that we will feel a deeper, truer hope than we know right now, because that's part of the story. And that is certainly part of our experience. And though we might be adrift right now, I offer you these important words from before the rainbow appeared. God remembered. These are the words of Scripture. God remembered. God remembered Noah and his family, and God remembers us. And though the rainbow might not be out yet, we are not forgotten.